This episode of The Fix has been made possible with support from the Wealthy Ho Network, established to champion the diversity of women's wealth with the end goal of better servicing female investors and returning a greater impact for the benefit of everyone.
Banks, for technology companies in particular, they can be really territorial. And I think that is not the solution to the diversity problem. You know, women are half of the population. There is not a single bank or a single technology firm that is going to hire half of the population, that is going to do business with half of the population. And so there's a lot of this market to go around, and, you know, rising tides lift all the boats.
I'm your host, Michelle King, and you're listening to The Fix, a podcast that shares the stories of women and men who are innovating and taking action to advance equality in the workplace and beyond. At some point, most women are likely to experience gender inequality at work. In fact, according to a Pew Research survey, about 4 in 10 employed women say they've experienced some form of gender discrimination at work. But for women who work in male-dominated fields, which include workplaces with about 25% or less women, gender inequality can be particularly difficult to navigate. These environments often reinforce gender stereotypes, which promote discrimination and make it harder for women to excel. For example, research by the nonprofit firm Catalyst found that in the financial services sector in North America in 2017, men were 24% more likely to be promoted from entry-level positions to manager compared to women. This is despite the fact that they have similar levels of performance and that both men and women ask for promotions at the same rate. To unpack the key challenges women face in male-dominated industries, we're going to be doing a special two-part series. And on this episode, which is the first of the series, we're featuring Maya Prabhu, Managing Director and Head of Wealth Advisory at JP Morgan Private Bank, and Lauren von Stackelberg, Director of Global Communications and Diversity at Expedia Group. On this episode, we'll learn about the barriers women face in male-dominated industries, specifically financial services, and the far-reaching impact this has. We'll also unpack solutions and strategies that each of us can use to tackle this issue. Very few women reach leadership positions in financial services across the world. According to Catalyst in 2018, women globally held 12% of CFO roles, and in the top 20 global financial services firms, women accounted for 18% of executive leadership. And this costs all of us, and often in ways we might not even be aware of. For example, for a lot of women, one of the key motivations to working and leading in this industry is the opportunity to make a difference or give back. Here Maya shares her experiences with this.
I did some work with the Prince's Trust, which is a leading nonprofit here in the UK, and then joined an organization, a philanthropy consultancy organization called New Philanthropy Capital. At that time, we were promoting the use of philanthropy advice so that people could give in a way that was rewarding, but also strategic. So you felt like you were making a difference. It was a balance of heart and mind. I joined a UK private bank straight after that. They were keen to promote philanthropy advice amongst its clients. So that was really how I entered the world of banking. And my role really expanded from there. But a core component of that always was, how do you really embed philanthropy within the goals of our clients, of the wealthy, so that it really sits at the heart of the meaning and purpose of their wealth?
Having more women in power and decision-making positions is the key to tackling some of the greatest challenges we face today, especially when it comes to philanthropy, because women are very involved in charitable giving. For example, the organization Women Moving Millions released a report in 2014, which found that by 2030, women will control an estimated $33 trillion in North America, and their charitable giving could reach $569 billion annually. Here, Maya shares how women are using wealth to make a meaningful contribution in their communities.
I think it's interesting to see whether women who are sort of showing a greater interest in this are receivers of the wealth as opposed to the wealth creators. So why do I say that? It's because I think in my experience where I've seen, you know, the next generation in the family who are inheritors, or where I see the women whose partners may have been the main wealth creator, I mean, there is that sense of being very lucky to be in that position because of someone else's work. And I think therefore they feel a huge interest in wanting to make a contribution to give something back to society. I'll just narrate a very sort of brief incident where this was brought to my attention by a lady. She used to work for a charity, and her husband, as it turned out, created a super successful company that was sold for actually a couple of hundred, maybe a bit more, $1 million. To her, this was an unbelievable amount of money, and she didn't really feel that she deserved it. She felt she had done nothing to earn it. And yet, obviously, she was going to benefit from it. And so for her, being able to give something back and being able to share that with others was a huge driver.
Like Maya, Lauren also started her career in banking, having worked for the likes of Barclays and JP Morgan. And even though the sector needs more women leaders, Lauren shares one of the key barriers that she believes prevents women from pursuing a career in finance.
People can change reality often. People can put in new programs. People can hire the right numbers of people. People can train managers. But as long as there is the perception from outside that the industry hasn't changed or that it's not welcoming or it's not diverse, the reality never is appreciated. And so I think changing the perception, which involves partnering with organizations like podcasts, like the press, you know, talking directly to your market and telling them, honestly, with your corporate conscience, we weren't getting this right, and now we are. And here's some examples of things we got wrong, and here's some examples of things we get right, and we want your input, and we want you to come in and keep us honest. I think that's probably one of the most important things that brands can do.
Financial independence is critical to women's empowerment. Advancing gender equality in banking and financial services not only benefits women globally as employees, but also as customers. Here, Maya shares why this is such an important issue for all women.
In developing countries, of course, microfinance was hugely important in economically empowering women. And all the studies showed that they invested most of that back into their families. I think in general, that is also true in our part of the world. I live in London. I think that's true also in our part of the world. I think that men are also interested in and very driven by supporting their families, certainly in our part of the world too. I think economically empowering women in general obviously helps society. You can have two breadwinners in a family or just one. I mean, women doing very well economically gives you a voice. I think it gives you, I don't want to use the word power in a bad way, but I mean that in a good way. And I think gives you choices. So therefore, I think more women in the workplace, if that's their choice, not all women choose to do that, is a good thing.
It's not just women who stand to benefit. Research finds that more women in leadership produces superior sales growth, more investments, and better financial performance. For example, a 2016 report found that companies had a 50% higher profitability when women made up 15% or more of their leadership teams. To realize these benefits, Lauren shares one key action that every company can take.
As everyone knows, we talk a lot about bias. And unconscious bias is a buzzword you've probably heard a lot. And I think a lot of banks, tech companies in general, turned around and said, we need to eradicate unconscious bias. So we will have everybody have a mandatory training, have different teachers come in and teach them. The mistake that was made in that process is by saying to everybody, this is mandatory, it doesn't tell people who have biases that they need to look within themselves and change. Everyone looks to the person next to them and says, oh, well, it's a mandatory training. It must be for Bob. It must be for Sue. It must be for the person next to me. No one really takes it as being for themselves. So I think an important thing to do is to realign how you train around bias and to actually get hard data and share it with people. So quartile your managers, you know, go through and look at performance reviews and feedback reviews and company surveys and say, based on the women in their team or based on the minorities in their team, whatever it is you're solving for, how many of them have the worst scores from that audience? And quartile them and go to them and say, we looked at feedback from managers managing women, and you are in the bottom 25%. Women in your team don't feel they're advancing. They don't feel their promotion opportunities are the same. You need to do this training in order to change that. And we will be checking back in with these same criteria in a year to see what's changed. Oh, and by the way, if you want help, these are the managers that were in the top quartile if you want to talk to them about how to manage a team. So really giving people an idea that this is for you. You need to make a change. We're measuring it, and we're making sure you change. And here's some examples of what good looks like, rather than a generic, why doesn't everyone go to the training in general?
Lauren says that one way companies can do this is by collaborating to solve the issue, rather than simply competing with one another.
Banks, and for technology companies in particular, they can be really territorial. And I think that is not the solution to the diversity problem. You know, women are half of the population. There is not a single bank or a single technology firm that is going to hire half of the population, that is going to do business with half of the population. And so there's a lot of this market to go around. And so I think being open to speaking out and saying, here are some things that we've done for diversity that did not work. Do not spend your money on them, because if they didn't work for us, they're not going to work for you. We're in the same industry. Here are the three things we did that were the most effective. You know, actually helping other people to not make the same mistakes. I know in technology, a great example is PwC came out with the Tech She Can Charter, which is 45 organizations working together, and they're all trying to increase the number of women in tech, and they share a lot of best practice across. And the reason they did it in the first place is they went out to students. I think they saw several thousand students, and they asked them to name a famous woman working in tech, and 80% of the students couldn't name one. And so that's everyone's problem. That's not Google or Facebook or Expedia. You know, that's everybody's problem to solve, changing that perception gap. And I think in banking, an example of where this is starting to happen is a newly launched network called Wealthy Her, where a number of banks are coming together to really try to focus on women's wealth and to say that banks are here for women as partners to help them be financially literate, to help empower them, to help them with investing. And I think the more of that we see, that will be great for companies.
Women don't just face issues working in the industry. A lot of women face barriers even engaging with their banks day to day. Here, Maya shares how all women can become more financially involved in their personal lives.
I think a lot of people, and possibly a lot of women, find talking about money and having to sort out financial arrangements a bit boring, to be honest with you. But it is super important to be proactive and say, no, I need to be financially literate. I need to understand what's in my bank account. I need to understand what my possible pension arrangements could be. I need to think about how I'm managing, you know, credit and all those other things. And I need to understand basics of investment. And I think we need to take a proactive approach to this as women. I think also for the financial services companies, I think it's really important that they speak to women directly, not just through their partners, that they're not patronizing. And I think if these two things happen in parallel, where the women are asking their financial advisors at the banks to give them more information, to tell them more, help them understand. And at the same time, the banks make a more concerted effort to proactively reach their female clients. I think that will be a good result.
Finally, Maya shares her advice for women wanting to pursue a career in the sector and make a difference.
You are capable of much more than you think you are. And that's really been brought home to me at several points in my career where I've sort of been amazed by even what I've been able to do. And so I guess not that I doubted my capability, but I never fully thought of my own capabilities. So I would say to any young woman, you are capable of much more than you think you are. Wealth and making a contribution, making a difference is about much, much more than money. Time, really is what makes a real difference. And you would be amazed at how many opportunities there exist to volunteer. Even amongst our busy lives, there is a huge opportunity to go and volunteer for the causes and the communities that you really care about.
It's so interesting to hear from two incredible women who forged a career path in a largely male-dominated industry. The lack of women in the financial sector has a far-reaching impact. Financial independence is critical to women's empowerment, confidence, and independence. It's also the foundation for giving back and tackling some of the biggest challenges facing the world today. As mentioned, this is a two-part series, so next week you'll be hearing from two incredible women, Nicole O'Keefe, who works as an electrician on a mine site, and Michelle Cowan, the Australian rules football coach. Both these women will share their experiences with making it in male-dominated fields. Thank you for tuning into our episode today. If you're looking for new ways to support us, apart from listening to the show, you can subscribe or leave us a review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also share and start a conversation on social media or any of your professional networks about what you've learned from any of our episodes. Thanks again, and I'll catch you all again next week.
This show is produced by Human Group Media, an award-winning social good podcast company. Human Group Media works with thought leaders, brands, and organizations to inspire social change through the power of audio storytelling.